Thank you. And thanks again so much to everybody who organized this really amazing night. And many, many thanks to Maria, because as she discussed and laid all of this out and understands so well how this works, how these technologies function, what's going on here. As Maria said, we collaborated in this case. So what this is it's a case that was filed in New York City after the police used the alert or deterrent or denial function of the LRAD. And we brought a lawsuit several years ago. So I'm going to also share my screen and go through a little bit of the materials and show a little bit of the video that night, and then explain a bit more how Maria and I worked together to present this to the court in a way where judges and, you know, everyday people, but also people really explicitly not on your side, could understand what was at stake here and how these technologies really work. And then ultimately the really exciting conclusion we were able to come to in New York City. And that's what I'm going to do. So, okay, great. So just very quickly, like Maria said, this is a fact sheet that LRAD Corporation is now called Genesis. But before it was called Genesis, and you know, we could all talk about all of the names and what Genesis means biblically, and it's spelled with a Y also as part of this very slick rebranding of tech. But that's another talk. This is a fact sheet about LRADs, and you see that under crowd control, it explicitly talks about how the Pittsburgh department used LRAD successfully at the G20 summit. Actually, at the G20 summit, the Pittsburgh police used the LRAD and permanently damaged a professor's hearing who was walking to class and ended up paying her $60,000. So we could all contest what successful uses are here, but it's in their materials as a successful use. And you can also see that they talk about how when an LRAD's deterrent tone is used at close range, protesters sense audible discomfort, cover their ears, and move away. And that just by covering your ears, it reduces sound pressure by 25 decibels and can prevent protesters from throwing projectiles. So already here, you can see that this tone used to be called the deterrent tone. It was explicitly targeted and marketed as a way to make protesters sense pain, to sense discomfort, and then goes into, you know, a really both ableist view and non-New York City view of how protesters will just cover their ears and move away. So of course, there's many people who can't just move away. And you're also talking about New York City, where, especially during a protest, if you think about how many people there are anyway in places like Times Square, and then you think about police barricades and how tightly packed crowds can be, and that police often will have closed off exits, the idea that protesters can just cover their ears and move away, you know, is really perverse. And you can see the end of the fact sheet noted that law enforcement agencies with concerns about the deterrent tone can easily disable this option. So the NYPD chose not to disable this option. And this is a visual from also LRAD company materials showing how the LRAD would work in Times Square, which is very prescient because in our instance, it was used in Times Square. You can see there's this red bit for about a block and a half, and that's the area where you could have permanent injury and hearing damage. And this whole part is where everything you're saying would be completely understood. So that's seven more blocks. And then the green area, which stretches out much further, is also where you could clearly be heard. But this is where it is still loud and potentially dangerous. And this is where it could cause permanent damage. And something to keep in mind, which I think Maria raised, and that you have to realize about sound, is that when sound, when something hurts your ears because of sound, it's causing damage and it's permanent, right? If you break a bone or break your arm or break your leg, that heals. But with what happens to your ears, that never heals, right? So the fact that this is meant to cause pain means it's meant to cause hearing damage. When you're talking about hearing, the same thing. There's no pain in ears without damage, just like with breaking a bone or your wrist, except it doesn't heal. And then this is just something from a 2010 report that the NYPD did itself about LRADs. And so this is 2010 before the incident. And you could see in this report that
me?
The device.
Oh, can you hear me for a second? Sorry. Can you put your screen on full? Because we see the slide small and we see the rest of the slideshow. Yeah.
So this here is part of the briefing that the NYPD did that I was talking about if you go down to the fourth paragraph, you can see that it has a special mode to propel piercing sound at higher levels that are considered safe to human ears. And at this point, the device causes damage to someone's hearing and can be painful. And I believe Maria went into it, but this was actually made to be on a boat, on Navy ships, to cause pirate ships to turn around. That if a pirate ship was advancing on your ship, the sound would be so loud that a pirate ship over the open seas would need to turn around. So obviously there's concerns if we're going to be using it on the streets of New York City. And the last thing before is that this is a test that the NYPD did in 2010 in a parking lot. And you could see that they called closer than 320 feet away a potential danger area and didn't even test it. And that it was at 102 decibels, which is extremely loud, even at 320 feet. And so this here is a picture of the back of an LRAD 100X, which is what was used in New York City. And you can see that it has a 30-degree beam. So it's a cone. It's very directed sound. And the back of it says, do not enter during continuous use for up to 10 meters. And it's cut off a bit here. And then here is also where you can enter with hearing. With hearing protection, like earplugs, and then this is where it's safe to be. So you can see that there's this 30-degree cone that you're not supposed to be within 10 meters of at all. So what we had happen here, and this is a video that was taken by one of our clients, was, as Maria said, in 2014, so 4 years after that report was written, protests against the murder of Eric Garner by a police officer who was kneeling on his chest. And the police used this device, and this is a video of one of our clients from very close. And this client actually had a history of hearing loss and wore earplugs. And I could send the YouTube link for it so people can watch the full video. So he was someone who was particularly sensitive to loud sounds. And because there was no warning before it, he wasn't able to put his earplugs in. And you can see in the video where it drops down and he actually puts his earplugs in. So I'm going to play a really brief part of it just so you can see how close police were using this deterrent tone. But, you know, cover your ears if you're sensitive to this, because it's meant to. Yeah, Maria, take your headphones off, and I'm going to take mine off too. It's meant to cause pain and permanent hearing loss, not only because of the volume, but because of the particular frequency it's at, which is where hearing is most sensitive. So I hope it's not too loud. So the purpose of that is you can see that the police were about, you know, a couple feet of cars width away from people. So much, much, much closer than 320 feet, certainly. And so that's what happened. And it was my job. I represented this person and five other journalists and protesters who had pain and injury to their ears and hearing damage, to prove why this was the problem, and also to try to get the NYPD to stop using long-range acoustic devices, and to have Maria help explain to everyone how and why these were a problem, and all the ways she explained. And so what happened is, now that this is NYPD training from right after we filed the lawsuit, and you can see that from now, the LRAD was completely remarketed from before our lawsuit to after the lawsuit as a communication device. And you can also see that they quote Martin Luther King Jr. and Albert Einstein as ways that this is actually about restoring peace, and that peaceful resolution can only come from understanding. And to achieve an understanding, you have to have effective communications. And to achieve effective communications, you must be heard. And we could talk more at length at any point about using Martin Luther King Jr., about needing to be heard, and how twisted it is to use that for a long range acoustic device, and that its actual purpose now is for peace and to make sure that you're heard by law enforcement. And you can see here too that they rebranded the deterrent tone to an alert tone. And now the alert tone is meant to gain individual attention. And it says the alert tone, these are instructor notes at the bottom. The top part of this is a slide. And then these are things that we got through the lawsuit to show the what instructors underneath running through the PowerPoint are supposed to read out loud. So they're supposed to read out loud that the alert tone doesn't produce a sonic wave, can't cause physical injury like a weapon, and that it can be used for 1 to 3 seconds and then a pause to see if people are paying attention, to see if it worked. And you can use it over and over for 3 seconds to see if things are working, which just happens to be exactly how it was used in the lawsuit. So they redid their training to say that everything you see in that video was actually exactly correct. And it's actually not a deterrent tone, it's an alert tone. And the alert tone actually makes people listen to your message. So instead of you cover your ears and walk away, it actually makes you listen more to what's about to happen next. And they also note that the LRAD Corporation is also in the process of updating their training materials to match the NYPD's training materials. So from our lawsuit, the LRAD Corporation just totally rebranded itself as a tool for communication and for listening. So things like the original thing that we showed that is just from a year prior, where it's actually about crowd control, has completely disappeared. And now we're at quotes by Martin Luther King Jr. and Albert Einstein about needs to be heard. This is just a written exam now that officers have to take. This is a 2-page exam before you can use this $20,000 incredibly dangerous weapon. But you'll see that one of the questions is the alert tone can be used to gain attention, compliance, sonic wave injury, or warming of the skin. Where the new answer is attention, but the old answer is compliance, and it's the same function, but the literal actual thing this tone was meant for, it was made for compliance, right? To make pirate ships turn around, is now the wrong answer in the exam. And so that's where we were. That was the new training. That's what police were saying. And we ended up bringing this case and explaining it to many courts. It ended up going through all the levels of courts in the United States up to the Supreme Court, which didn't hear the case, but commented on it. And, you know, it's a much longer talk and something that Maria and I have been meaning to publish a full paper on for a long time. But what this ended up turning around was both, can this actually hurt you? And we felt very that we were able to show that, yes, sound hurts, this is injuring, and this is using it incorrectly, right? In this sort of common sense way Maria raised. But also, so what? Because even if police are hurting you in the United States, that doesn't necessarily mean they're doing something bad. So we had to prove what the bad part was. And what we tried to prove was that it was an unreasonable seizure. So like under the US Constitution, police can't stop you or seize you unless they have a warrant or unless it's an emergency and there's a big enough reason, right? So police can't just grab you off the street and hold you. And so we argued that by forcing you to move by sound that won't let you move forward, right, and makes you turn around, that's a seizure. And there's lots of cases in America that says a seizure is just anything that like can make you move in a direction, like if it gains control of you. But courts said no to that, and that there wasn't a seizure here because nobody's movements were controlled. They couldn't move forward into the beam, but they could move any other direction around the beam. But what courts did say was a problem in a very American way was that there could be a due process violation here, which is in the United States, there's sort of a catch-all part of our Constitution where the government can't act arbitrarily. And you've probably all I'm assuming read a lot of that libertarianism and the don't tread on me snake flag. It's that idea that a government can't be arbitrary. And if they're going to hurt you at all or do anything to you at all, they need to have a reason, because this is the United States and we were founded on privacy and liberty. So what we appealed to was this goes outside of your privacy and your liberty to have the government, you know, blasting the sound at you. And a lot of courts agreed to that and said that this does seem to violate your due process rights, in a way where sound pointing at you feels arbitrary. And then something else that we had to come over is that in the United States, even if police officers violate your rights, so even though they did violate your right against your privacy being infringed and your liberty being infringed, they still need to have had notice of that, with the idea that policing is hard. So we want police to not be afraid to do stuff. And this is called qualified immunity, and it's a big thing in the United States because it's not actually in our Constitution. It's something courts made up, but it means that it's very hard to sue police officers. And basically, before you can sue them, they have to have done the same thing wrong before and had a court say it was wrong before. So police officers in the United States oftentimes get like one chance at doing something wrong. And as long as they're the first ones to have done that thing wrong, nobody gets in trouble. It's a very problematic doctrine. And here, this is incredibly new technology. So there was no way we could prove, you know, there's zero cases on LRADs before. So we couldn't at all prove that this had happened before. But we were able to convince courts that sound hurting people is common sense enough. And that this is a really dangerous where you can't just tell police they can come up with novel ways of hurting you. And then that's fine. So if there's something that can obviously hurt someone, police can't do it. And that this is like that, where especially because that picture we showed, the back of it said, you can't use this. Anyone holding this big device with a picture that says no one should be within 10 meters and they use it from half a meter, they should just know. And that police don't need a court opinion directly on point to know not to do something that, you know, hurts people in new novel ways, because we want to discourage police from just thinking up ways to hurt someone they've never hurt anyone before. And the higher courts agreed with us and the Supreme Court refused to overturn that. And we were able to get a settlement with the city of New York that they're completely never going to use the deterrent tone again. So that deterrent tone does not get used anymore. And that's the intro to this. And stay tuned for when Maria and I write a full article about all these points and thanks, everybody.